Blog Talk Radio.
This is the long weekend, isn't it, here? And it's not snowing, so it almost feels like something's wrong out there. We should be having, we should be out in Manitoba experiencing some of the true spring weather, a few snowflakes. But it's the, it's what in Canada is known as the sand in the line in the snow. This is the start of summer. So for all of those travelers out there, pun intended, welcome to the program, and safe holiday. Watch yourself on the roads, of course, and enjoy. This is just a remarkable spring day here, sun shining. The weather is, it's 13 degrees already, and it's exceptional. I hope that you you and yours are making a plan to celebrate this holiday. Queen Victoria was born on the 24th of May in 1819, of course. Canada, you know, we were part of the Commonwealth at the time. We weren't even part. We were just a territory, weren't we? She took the throne in 1837, and she was there for, you know, what, till 1901. Yeah. 62 years on the throne. So Canada, the Parliament, declared her birthday a holiday in 1845, well before 1867 Confederation. So this is a special day for all of us. Victoria Day long weekend. It's a statutory holiday, and it's celebrated on the Monday preceding May 25th. So if you're wondering how that it moves around, it used to be on the day, the 24th, but for various reasons that changed. So this is the so enjoy. In Prince Edward Island, PEI was named after Queen Victoria. You know, Prince Edward was named after Queen Victoria's father, and it's a non-statutory general holiday in the Maritimes ever since. And in Quebec, the National Patriots Day is commemorated. So all things, we love the diversity here in this country. Have I talked with you about the diversity in the country, the cultural change that's the growth, the evolution of Canada? Have the lodges kept up? Oh, I'd say not so much, probably in the bigger cities, but in the rest of the country, it's as if, you know, it's all of those the city folk that have all of the changes going on, and the rest of us sit here on our bale of straw with nothing going on. Further from the case. For generations, the life in country has remarkably changed and upgraded, and I never hear an old farmer talking about wanting to go back to the Ellis Chalmers and give up his modern equipment. Are you kidding? The life on the farm was more difficult. Modern contrivances and equipment are making that a bit a bit easier, but it still takes a remarkable amount of smarts and effort to run a farm in this country. So here on Victoria Day is to a little nod to all of the farmers who put the food on our table. And thank you for all that you do. The war, after the Second World War, we watched all the troops. We waved a lot of flags, coming, brought our boys back home. Nobody paid any attention to the dedication of the farmers that were mandated to stay here to grow food for the troops. The war didn't stop with armistice. The war went on for them. The regulations governing farmers here in Canada went on, just as it did in Britain, because all of a sudden we had an enormous group of returning people to feed. So the war went on 7 years after armistice. So who's to say? Did they deserve? Did they look for? Did they get what they deserved? Hey, look what happened with the Merchant Marine. Nobody paid much attention to the valiantry of those men and women. And so today, do we pay any attention? I do, here on Masonic Home Companion. Welcome to all you eager beaver masons out there, and others, if you're fortunate enough to be paying attention to us today. Sit down with us for the next little while and enjoy a bit of mayhem. This is the 137th day of the year. That means there's only 228 days left to get your bottle of champagne on ice and get ready for the festivities. Little pointy hat on and a noisemaker. 2016 is not going to be put off. I swear it's coming. You know, it's like this day is like, it reminds you that, you know, what doesn't kill you will what? There's all kinds of saying. What doesn't kill you will make you stronger. Well, I don't know. I'm more inclined to think, if a person could find a better way to kill bugs, they wouldn't just get rich. They'd probably get a lot more dates, eh? That's true. You really don't want to argue with anyone larger than your van, says Red Green. Yes, that was the very first, Possum Lodge was the very first lodge that took me in as a member. But remember this, you may have to grow old, but you don't have to mature. Nope, and we have evidence of that around us, you know, all the time. You don't want to argue with anybody at all. Vegetarian's an old Indian word meaning I don't hunt so good. There's only two things that excite a man: expensive toys and real expensive toys. And so there it's a little bit of common sense here. It's physically impossible to drink a 5-gallon bucket of water while lying down. So we're going to get into the program today. You can see that we're actually reflecting here. We're into a period on the show where it's based on observations, not so much opinion. God love your opinions. I love your opinions, but we're looking for qualified opinions here, not just what seems to come naturally after you've sat down and loosened your belt after a nice big meal, and you've got a glass of single malt in your hand. Don't be thinking that I don't care. It's just I don't care. I want a qualified opinion now. I'm getting too old. Things seem to be, speeding up. I've got more things to do, and I don't have enough time to do it. And I want to get wring the most quality out of this experience of being amazing. So, I'm struck by the narrative of masonry, and I like to just not change it. Nothing can possibly change the narrative of masonry. Love that rigidity. Nothing can possibly change, except everything around it is fluid. The ideas are fluid. Everything's evolved. So masonry really has. If it's anybody is claiming that kind of thought, you know that they've been under a rock for about 175 years, something like that. That idea, that notion is just being spun. It's made up. It's not linked with the evidence and science around us. And I'm pretty sure that we're expected to be students of the arts and sciences. I'm pretty sure. And I'm pretty sure that's intended to expand and allow us to explain our thoughts and qualify our opinions. Pretty sure. Not to say that I pay much attention. I know all of you listeners of Masonic Home Companion are the real gallery out there, the star chamber, if you will, of Freemasonry. And part of that star chamber is occurring right now at Avalon Lodge number 2 in Newfoundland. And I want to offer a shout out to Bill Neal. Avalon is helping him to celebrate 70 years as a Mason. I think the fellow's is he 100? That's remarkable. And fit as a fiddle and enjoying life. And there you go. And we'd look forward. We'd love to, you know, we should really set up a call and try and connect with some of these boys down in the Maritimes. Different in my way of thinking, Maritimers are special, partly because I'm part of that gene pool and from the island. But you know, they are special, have a special and I think a significant and deep sense of Freemasonry there that speaks well for them. So think about that cultural pull. Are we able to keep up? I'm also wanting you to think here today as we get into the episode. I want you to think about the being in a long line, and here's the narrative: Freemasonry. The Freemasonry doesn't really explain this very well at all. It's sort of very, and I don't think it's because we're being coy. I think it's like, oh, gee, we really didn't think this through, because you have to search and you have to do some research to find these ideas, and it's the kind of work that a lot of fellows just don't have the time to do because of the demands on their. Of their job and their family. I get that. However, over the course of a lifetime, you need to be able to dedicate and discipline yourself to bringing in an organized way of reading and give yourself, create the time. If you want to become a more learned fellow, it does require a bit of that. Whether you're starting with the Bible or you're starting with the Quran, whatever it is, it's really important that we keep reading and keeping our minds open. And understanding the metaphor, understand the meaning behind the words, that is critical. That is, in essence, critical thinking. And I believe that that's one of the pillars of Freemasonry, is critical thought. Now, the flock out there following it around, nodding, and the, you know, the sycophants going along with everybody and everything, well, that's a different story. Not that there's anything wrong with being a follower and not thinking. It's perfectly, you know, you're created for that purpose. But, if you will, Freemasonry is like the well of knowledge. I know it's a bit cheesy to be talking like that, but I think it is. I think it has that kind of a statement has a purpose here. Now, you may not have a thirst for it, which is perfectly fine. You may not have a thirst for this. So you don't have a thirst, the fellow behind you does. So he's very thirsty, so he puts his dipper into the well regularly and quenches his thirst temporarily, always coming back for when he's thirsty. He has another question. Now, the lodges, I think, have built up an ethos, a way of being, an expectation that accommodates all of the maddening crowd. You know, the people that are there, not really thirsty, but they show up regularly, God love them, and they dress up in their pretty clothes, and they take up a seat. And, you know, they may be parrot heads, and I don't mean that in the good sense of the Jimmy Buffett. I apologize to all the Jimmy Buffett parrot heads out there. You know, you people are my kind of people. But I'm thinking about, you know, the 1930s version of parrot heads where they can say words and no idea what they mean. Well, that's a bit, you know, that makes us a bit, if we say that too often, it may be quite valid, but it makes us feel self-conscious after a while, doesn't it? Like, you know, we're all starting to look at each other a little bit differently. Well, I say to hell with that. Don't be doing that. If a fellow's not thirsty, he's not thirsty. If he doesn't want a pint, he doesn't want a pint. That's perfectly reasonable. But if you do, you enjoy it. You savor it. If you're doing it to show off, well, grow up, you know. Just because you get older doesn't mean, as Red Green says, you have to mature. So grow up, you know. You're doing it because you're the one that's thirsting for the knowledge. Now, remember I think, do you notice that the conviviality of masonry has really been overblown? And I use that term not so cautiously, but descriptively. That the glad handing and the happy to see you, good time, Charlie kind of guys have really risen to they're the cream of the crop right now, and they have been for a while. And that's all being all important in masonry. And I think, in a sense, unintentionally, it's pushed the contemplative Mason into the sidelines. Now, that doesn't concern me greatly, but think about the way that we convey what Masonry is without saying the words. Our atmospheres, the rooms, the buildings that we create, I think, in all fairness, could do a better job of reflecting the fact that this is a place of learning and a place of contemplation and a place where people come to exchange information. Rarely, rarely have I seen a decent library. Rarely have I seen a library. Rarely have I heard thoughtful discussion. Rarely. It does happen, but you and I know that it's a minority. That's the heartbeat, you guys, of Freemasonry, that small minority that understand that the beliefs, the principles and philosophy have little to do with all of the adjustments and nonsense, the politics and the governance of lodges, little to do with it. Yes, oh my goodness, those things are important, aren't they? Well, yes, and that's where the, quote, authority for Masonry comes from. But is it? I was under the understanding, perhaps some of you, that the authority of that what legitimizes Freemasonry, legally we have constitution, which is essential for our protections. But the authority is ethical. The authority is our adherence to an ethical and our devotion to an ethical form of life, a lifestyle. And all things aside, you may say, well, of course, the law is above all else. Really? Where do you think the law came from? Created by man for particular reasons. Where did our sense of ethics come from? Well, part of that is the culture that we create. I think we could do more. The stairs are getting worn down. The mold is getting to be an uncommon smell, or more frequent smell than we would like. The buildings are starting to creak. They're falling apart. They've been neglected. The message isn't about the conviviality. Oh, we were having such a great time, we never thought to fix the latch. Well, the latch now matters because it looks dodgy. And if you're describing or conveying a message that this is a top-shelf organization with some degree of currency, shouldn't the physical plant express that? You don't see the old ship's engineers leaving tools and materials all over his engine room, do you? Not a bit. Spotless. You need something, you know exactly where you can go and find it. We haven't done a reasonable job of this. An observation, no fingers pointed. We haven't, for whatever reason, it doesn't matter. It is what it is. You're in line at the Oracle at Delphi, right? And think about this is where I think there's a significant parallel. You have an if you're in that line, you have an opportunity to ask one question of the Oracle. Her answers don't necessarily have to make sense to you. What is the purpose of man? Know thyself. There. How does that make sense? You have to go away and think about it. She would give obscurity. She would do obscurity in capital letters. She wasn't there to do your thinking for you. You wanted an answer? You got an answer. Go away and think about it. Figure out the answer. In a way, I think I feel great comfort in knowing that Masonry does the same thing. It offers us an opportunity to ask the essential question. Now, if you don't have an essential question, you're going to be hanging around with the party crowd in the market, having a drink and food and slapping like-minded fellows on the back. It's just a nice day. We're up here in the mountains, and the lineup going into the Oracle is really too long. And really, what do you get when you get when you're there? And if you can't figure out her answer, isn't it a bit of a waste of time, don't you think? So it's better just to, we'll stay out here in the sunshine and enjoy each other's company. All good to that. I have no problem with that. But the purpose, the point is being missed. The point is that those with a serious question have work in mind. They're trying to understand. They're trying to improve. Now, coming in as being accepted as an entered apprentice, we will read in an ideal world that those were the chosen few that had ability and had perhaps been part of a family that knew how to commit to the task. They also maybe had that push factor where they knew that if they were able to work, they could feed their family, feed their entire family. And they knew that to build a castle, you'd need masons, and it would take, 25 years to build cathedrals? Could take 100 years. And often did. So over the course of an entire lifetime, these people were assured some degree of comforts of life. But today, it's not a guarantee that you're going to be initiated and you're going to be able to function as a master mason one day. You're going to finish your 7 years and you're going to be able to carry on under the traditions of the order. Not so much. So you may come in finding, I don't know anything about masonry, which I think is valid, and I don't really like it. After I've seen what it is, I don't really like it. Well, for whatever reason, that person is going to walk away with a taste of bitterness in their mouth, aren't they? You're going to say, well, why did you walk away? Well, they're going to have to find some element of criticism. And like anything in life, it's easy to do that. That doesn't necessarily mean that masonry is at fault. But it does tell us something. If we're saying, well, the order is what it is, well, how many people know what it is? How many people accept that this is opportunity for knowledge? How many? And if we all are, and we're told like children, there's no politics in the order. Well, we know that you get organizations, men, this larger group of men. It has nothing to do with Freemasonry. This is how human beings in large groups organize. This isn't because somebody makes a declaration or makes a statement that is contradictory. We got over this superstitious stuff, didn't we? We're going to look at a bit of the Renaissance today just as a little reminder. Well, didn't we learn anything? Let's bring the knowledge forward. That said, we're living in the age of the internet. It is not new. So anybody who thinks it is, catch up. If you're in Somalia, maybe you don't have a broadband. Okay, I got that. But you will soon, along with your cell phone, you're going to have broadband soon. The whole world is being hooked up. This is a fluid exchange of information. This is bringing the greatest libraries of the world to our fingertips. Now, take the cotton out of the ears, remove the blinders from our eyes, and look around at that library, and it's full of knowledge. If we go at this selectively, as if we're only going to learn French knowledge, we're only going to learn Catholic knowledge, we're only going to learn Masonic knowledge, what is the marker that helps us decide what is and what isn't? And why aren't we able to look at knowledge, study science from various perspectives so that we begin to understand more fully the information conveyed? Masonic knowledge is a derivative. It doesn't generate these brilliant ideas. It's a derivative. It's a compilation of brilliant ideas. It isn't Greek philosophy. It's based on Greek philosophy. It doesn't create architecture. It's based on the geometry at the time. Euclidean, now we have fractal geometry, so you want to pay more attention. We have new sciences. Well, where is it written that we aren't, as Masons, to adopt new sciences? Where is that? I don't see it. If there's a new tool that's being developed that helps us do things more accurately and better, then we, as good craftsmen, need to be able to understand that the tool exists and learn how to use it properly. And then we pass that learning on to the next generation, and so on and so on and so on. Those tools have been refined through the internet. And now new minds, and I don't mean that in terms of age. We get a lot of older fellows that are remarkable scholars because they have access to this. And it's like, yeah, right, I don't have to fly to London to have access to the Tate Modern. I can bring it up on my screen. I can look at that art. I can look at the influence of the moderns. I can visit the Louvre. I can visit the galleries in New York. I can sit in the Hermitage. I can sit in the Hagia Sophia. I can visit that online. I can bring those ideas. I can type in William Blake, and I can find the work of William Blake. Shakespeare, I can do that. Abu Ibn, I can bring up this work in front of me right now, and so can you. But if we're going to pretend that this doesn't exist, I think we're missing the point. I think the phenomena of masonry in the 21st century, although I like, you know, Andrew Hammer is telling us, you know, the craft masonry should be what we dedicate ourselves to. Exactly. Exactly, Andrew. And then I would say, let's expand on that and explain what it is we're talking about now. The opportunity is about individual growth, not growth of the organization. Individual growth. If you see a man, remember, if you see a man, then you have seen. That's the growth that we're looking for. Has there been a change? Is it consistent with a bundle of principles and ethics and philosophy of living? And if we start to express that in our day-to-day behavior, this isn't a passive event. This is where we express it in our behavior, our manners toward one another. If it's not there, if you're just a rude sod, then you're just a rude sod. You've missed a lesson in masonry, an important lesson in masonry that helps people connect with these ideas. If you think that the fellow that we're waiting, oh my goodness, how many of you, put your hands up, that are in a lodge where you're waiting for some old crock to die before things will get better? Admit it. That's what do we call that? Is that bordering on what Cyril would call hypocrisy? I'll never say that kind of word because I'm not sure what it means. I'm not that bright. But it seems really peculiar to give anybody that kind of responsibility or to cast that kind of aspersion on any one of the brethren, that he is such a negative influence. Don't elevate him or don't put him down that much. He's no bigger or better than anybody else. Are you on the level or not? If you are, act like it. Doesn't mean being rude. It certainly doesn't mean being aggressive. Ugh, how much more offensive could you possibly be? I'm right, therefore I can be aggressive. Now there's a clever Mason talking, thinking like that. It's like, oh, you don't sound like me, so you can't be of me. So we don't like each other because we don't understand each other. Really? There's two clever students of the craft. The idea is that we search out the common elements in every human being in the earth, Mason or not. Have you done your homework? Those are the basics. I'm not making this up. Those are in the first 3 degrees. My goodness. All those lessons are there. We are in a process of being educated. So now the walls of masonry have become more less opaque, more transparent. The secrets are out there. The privacy isn't, but the secrets. We pretend we've had secrets ever since these exposés were being written in, what, the 18th century? Is that when they started? 17th century? Where we got the pamphlets, and then we found out so many guys were reading the pamphlets to find out what the way masonry should be practiced. And then we scratched our heads and say, well, you know, they're using this material, this that this profane material as reference points, maybe we should control the reference points. You know, maybe it is a good idea to be providing something in writing for the fellows. Or do you want to say, yes, I love the idea that there was a time when masonry was mouth to ear. I love that. I'm in love with the idea, not the process. Because if you're my mentor and I have a capacity, I'm limited by your experience. So now we have people from different parts of the world coming together in this global community, and we need to be able to catch up, I think. Because if what the commonness, the universality, is what happens on an intellectual level, where we can begin to examine these hot topic areas, these hot potatoes, and we can examine them without value judgments, without flipping out and acting like we know what the hell's going on in the world. Oh, do you only want to handle the safe stuff? Okay, fine. Only deal with things that agree with your thinking. Bob, bless you. Bless your heart. But we're grown men. We are able intellectually to hold, we should be able as mature minds, to hold competing ideas in our mind at the same time. Good and bad, black and white, at the same time. This is how we began to rationalize and use reason to overcome superstition and our fears. Remember, once upon a time, every night was full of the spirits, and if you didn't complete your mantras or follow certain rules of conduct, you were inviting trouble. So if you weren't devout enough and the crop failed, it was because of your lack of devotion. Better we go and sacrifice some things to make up for that and compensate, huh? Remember, we may enjoy some of these ideas, but it doesn't mean they were smart ideas, because we're able to examine them in a different context today than in the day when they happened. And no, this isn't about bashing and crashing the past. Good grief, if it wasn't for, it's like saying, well, we only live in the minute. Really? Really? So the zeitgeist right now, the spiritual sense of the order is one of lightening, lightness, not ponderous, lightness. Embrace it. Ask your essential question. Become self-directed as a student. If you're waiting for an entire world order to change so that it begins to make sense in your mind, think about the outcome of that. It's not the order, it's you that's limiting yourself. You have the privilege of being able to go to a well of knowledge. You'll begin to realize that there are different wells, and you're able to portray yourself to the world as an entered apprentice in your mind, always willing and receptive to learning a new lesson. Now, the lessons that matter in life, the change that we require, are those that ask us to bend over backwards so far that we feel we're going to break in two. Those are the most important. If your smugness limits you, restricts you to only going along with ideas that you had going into the place, really, what are you doing in this order of learning? Because you already know it. Aren't you a genius, eh? Aren't we all? So we continuously in masonry, we struggle with this notion of divine, the divine. It's a humbling devotion. And out of that humility, we keep examining and being on guard for the smugness. Authority doesn't really have much sway in this kind of thing. Not in an intellectual environment. It can make life uncomfortable, yep. It can create fear, yep. But little else, because when it always stops, and it's always eclipsed by the evolution of thought. You can't kill the idea. You can kill the man, but you can't kill an idea. We're going to talk, I wanted to talk to you today about building your cathedral with through this sense of reflections on geometry and the build, and the builder's mind. You, the builder, the cathedral, you. Within masonry is perfection, beauty, a universe of utterly remarkable balance. Fantastic, isn't it? Poor is the man that blames himself for not seeing what is there. Don't be pointing fingers either yourself or anybody else. He has not found the perspective that helps him understand that he is surrounded by beauty. Maybe he's never been taught or encouraged to appreciate the beauty. Maybe that's it. The Chinese approach to beauty does not immediately disclose all. It leaves something to the imagination. To allow a man to lose himself in his contemplation, creating the road of a spiritual experience. Reflections, memory, deeply surreal, contradictory, magical. By turning to the east, we move from that which is manicured and manufactured and that which is natural. Can our Western eyes see in this cultural confusion, a message. In this sense, do symbols, allegory, arcane, perhaps the metaphor in this sense, inspire us in mysterious, essential Masonic experience? Notice in the ordinary what lessons are revealed in the garden of the mind. The spiritual purity of Freemasonry is a path to understanding. What holds the secret of Freemasonry may not be within the walls of the lodge, but in nature. The key that unlocks secrets left. Finding that much sought after key is, after all, a personal journey. Maybe I should change that word to sojourn. Short little journeys that thousands have discovered. The answers do not come to him. He leaves behind the predictability of the lodge to discover, not as the first, but as the next. Not the first to ask the question to the oracle, but you are the next. It is elemental, vast, and very, very old. Time proven. Let go of turmoil, and it will let go of you. Listen for the silence in a crowd. Become invisible to conflict, and it will pass through you. Then the humble apprentice finds the lessons he has labored to find. Do not search for it. Be it. Be a Mason in mind, body, and spirit. And notice the life force flows unrestricted. Ta-da. Notice, you are masonry. You are the cathedral. Let it happen. Surrender the impulse of criticism, of turmoil, of looking for, expecting everything around you to be perfect, to be as it's supposed to be. It's never gonna happen. Life is the way it is. If you live a trusting life, you will be hurt. That's a measure of your humaneness. Anyone who suggests that you have to have leather for skin and act as if you're impermeable is a fool. We have the capacity to reason. Sensitivity is simply your ability to observe. You're going out there to try and convince the world that the answer to your essential question is the answer they should accept, that they should be asking the same question you asked. foolish boy. What makes you think the oracle would give the same answer twice? There's no... She wouldn't make anything that easy, would she? You've waited a long time to have her answer. You get your answer, not the answer. Meets me is phenomenal. We're going to talk about the phenomenology of Freemasonry in a couple of programs down the road. I think that one's going to be kind of interesting. Let the principles flow. If you're thinking that you came in, you became an entered apprentice with a blank sheet, well, come on. You came with experiences unique to the world. You see the world through a unique set of eyes. You have your own history, your own questions, your own doubts, your own strengths. Every one of us does that. Are there fools in the world? Yeah, big deal. So what? Life moves on. Do you think that progress waits for foolishness to be resolved or for perfection? Our perfection is this search for balance. It's not like we have a flat line and perfect balance. It teeters back and forth, and it orbits at the same time, and it spins at the same time. And each of those seconds and those moments in our future are different. They come with a different dynamic. Amazing. Absolutely amazing, isn't it? So life is an opportunity to face the fact that we live with uncertainty. We live in a world of perfect mathematics. Yeah. Perfect nature. The balance is perfect because it's there. But everything moves, and you and I, it moves through us and us through it constantly. And somebody should whisper in your ear, young apprentice, you're doing well. Is it confusing? Yes. Is this something we all should have known or been told about? Oh, my goodness, yes. You know, the world owes us all those perfect explanations. Hell no. It means that we're realizing things. Realizing things for the first time, new. Do you want to claim that you already knew this? Every essential idea on the face of the earth is self-evident after you know the answer. You know? When you hear Stephen Hawking explain the history of the universe, doesn't it make sense? Oh, gee, yeah, he's sort of self-evident. Well, that's the point. Do we always understand what's self-evident? No, sometimes it takes us a while to learn the language to explain our thoughts. You are the Mason. You are Masonry. Don't be so harsh on yourself. Don't be so ruthless. Where's your sense of generosity? Where's your sense of patience? Do you give yourself a pat on the back for the effort that's required? Nobody else is going to do that. You don't have somebody there saying, oh, Dale, you're doing a wonderful job. You went and practiced the piano this morning. That's wonderful. There you go. Good boy. Keep it up. Here's some cocoa and some marshmallows for you there. Good boy. I'm a little old for that, and so are you. Are you defined as a person by what goes on around you, what other people say? Really? You're so clueless about yourself, you have to rely on the comments. And if something seems out of kilter, then your very being is out of kilter? Really? Bit shallow, don't you think? But we all face those kind of questions, and we face those kind of lessons or experiences in life because it teaches us something about ourselves. Good things, I would hope. But you're the one that drinks from that well. You're the one that goes over. Do you have a thirst for the knowledge? Well, the knowledge is there. you know, it's true. The knowledge is there. But how to bring it out? Yeah, yeah. I want to give a few, see if we can get some ideas from Epictetus, you know, the Greek philosopher. Kind of interesting guy. He was born in 55. How would you like to have a birth date in 55? And he lived till 135, you know. I think that was fairly good, you know. He's, what, 80 when he died? So, first, say to yourself what you would be. And then do what you have to do. There was a sort of a pop psychology out a few years ago that if you just thought these wonderful thoughts, wonderful things would happen to you. Really. And if you powdered rock salt up your rear end, I wonder what had happened. Think about what you would be and then do it. Do what you have to do. Makes it seem simple, hmm? The key is to keep company only with people who uplift you, whose presence calls forth your best. There is, he says, only one way to happiness, and that is to cease worrying about things which are beyond the power of our will. You know this as that now that Epictetus was a Stoic. Remember we talked about Stoics, Cynics, and Epicureans? Remember this? It takes more than just a good-looking body. You've got to have the heart and soul to go with it. The essence of philosophy is that a man should so live that his happiness shall depend as little as possible on external things. Let me say that again. I just like the ring of that. The essence of philosophy is that a man should so live that his happiness should depend as little as possible on external things. And this is one that came when you were boys. You all heard this. You have two ears and one mouth so that we can listen twice as much as we speak. That was a lesson from Cyril when I was about 7 years old. Whenever you are angry, be assured that it is not only a present evil, but that you have increased a habit. Always a bit harsh when our habits are pointed out to us, isn't it? Keep silence for the most part and speak only when you must, and then briefly. Yeah, don't worry. The show's coming to an end. I'll speak briefly and leave you for another week. Make the best use of what is in your power and take the rest as it happens. It's the roll of the dice. Do you mind me talking today about a perspective on heaven? All religions must be tolerated, for every man must get to heaven in his own way. Men are disturbed not by things, but by the view which they take of them. If you want to improve, be content to be thought foolish and stupid. Well, I must be improving in large steps lately. Oh, yeah, the way people talk about others in front of you is the way they talk about you when you're not around. Remember that. You'll soon realize who the gentlemen are in your life and who are just shallow little types. Eh? We have some interesting music coming up, but first I want to talk to you. I was going to talk, to do a bit of scandalize you and talk about Aleister Crowley, but I wasn't really in a sort of a scandalous mood today. Because it's just too, you know, you want to talk about weird. We'll have to talk about weird because he sort of made a habit of proving to the world that he was weirder than the rest. And then we find there's people that take him seriously. All right, it's all good. This is not that there's anything wrong with the devotees of Aleister Crowley. It's like, good grief, you know, just go talk over there in the corner. I want to talk to you about some work by W. Kirk McNulty. And this is from a 2012 copy of the Ars Quattro Coronati compilation, you know, the papers. And here's a shout out to Ars Quattro Coronati in London. Thank you for years of dedication, and I hope the challenges and I have faith that the challenges being faced by the organization will be resolved. One of the ideas which was fundamental to Renaissance thought. You okay with this? I see some nods out there through the magic mirror. Was the concept of macrocosm. That's to seen as the universe as a whole. Imagine, this is the Renaissance. Instead of looking up and seeing little points of light, the minds at the time were beginning to think about the whole setup and us in it. And a corresponding microcosm seen as the human race. Phenomenal. The idea is that the universe and human beings are structured using the same principles. Here we go. Get your pencils out. Get your crayons out. You're going to have to be writing this down because this is a little bit. Here's a spoiler alert. Here's a deep thought coming. Both having been made, both the universe and human beings, been made in the image of God. And that in the course of events, there is always a correspondence between activity in the greater and lesser worlds. This is a necessary consequence of the principle of oneness. This is really getting us around to Confucianism, is it? Yeah. Buddhism? Yeah. We have seen that in the Hermetica, as above, so below sums up the idea, and it was treated in great detail in England in the early 17th century by, now this is a well-known alchemist, his name is Robert Fludd, 2 D's, in his History of the Two Worlds. Go and dig that copy out. Google that and see what it says. And he's summing up the idea, and he talked about it and broke it out in detail in the early 17th century. Thus far, we have avoided speaking of one of the principal features of the board, the ladder. It extends from the tracing board. It extends from the scripture open on the pedestal to the glory which represents the deity. And in the Masonic symbolism, it is said to be Jacob's ladder. We will consider the ladder together with another symbol, the point within a circle bounded by 2 parallel lines, which is shown on the face of the pedestal or altar. Point, circle. Remember the point at one time was a representative of the universe, yeah? And then 2 parallel lines. Why should we consider these 2 symbols together? In many early Masonic drawings, for example, the frontispiece of 2 Masonic miscellanies, they appear together as if they had some connection. Consider the 2 parallel lines first. They, like the Doric and Corinthian columns, represent paired opposites, active and passive qualities. Still okay? Why? Because in Masonic symbolism, they are associated with the saints, John, and the Baptist day in midsummer, and the evangelist day in midwinter. In addition to this difference, the personalities and life experiences of the 2 saints, John, are also opposites. In the English Constitution, which has de-Christianized its symbolic structure, the lines are said to represent Moses, the prophet, and Solomon, the lawgiver, which are substantially opposite persons with opposite roles. The ladder, with its 3 principal rounds, faith, hope, and charity, rises between the 2 parallels of the divine glory. Now, when you look at this point within a circle bounded by 2 parallel lines, together with the ladder and its 4 levels, you will see a pattern very similar to the 3 columns. There are 3 verticals, 2 of which, the lines, relate to active and passive functions, the prophet and the lawgiver. While the 3rd, the ladder, reaches to the heavens and provides the means by which we hope to arrive there. The ladder, which I think is a representation of individual consciousness,
has three principal rounds or levels, represented by faith, hope, and charity. So these are levels of individual consciousness, not function. Woo! Who knew? Both the macrocosm, landscape, and the microcosm, man, share the fourth level of divinity, represented by the blazing star, or glory. Taken together with the latter and the point within a circle, bounded by two parallel lines, they represent the human individual, made in the image of God, according to the same principles on which the universe is based. There was one more idea which we should touch on before we leave the first degree board. A Mason is sometimes called a traveling man. We have a professor that we know at Brock that always refers to us as travelers. It's delightful. And one of the Masonic catechisms gives us a little insight into this seldom used epithet. You want to hear it? Of course you do. Did you ever travel? Answer, my forefathers did. Where did they travel? Due east and west. What was the object of their travels? They traveled east in search of instruction and west to propagate the knowledge they had gained. Lovely. Notice the cardinal points of the compass on the border of this tracing board. They define the east and west direction as it's to be understood in terms of Masonic symbolism. And in doing so, they make some comment about the nature of the journey which the new Mason apprentices himself to undertake. Oh yeah, that business about free will and accord? Yeah. That journey from east to west is represented symbolically by the process through which the Masonic degrees, and it is indeed the ascent up Jacob's ladder of one of the principal rounds for each degree. The notion of a mystical ascent was part and parcel of the Hermetic Kabbalistic tradition. Mystical ascent. It is a devotional exercise during which the individual rises through the worlds of the soul and the spirit, at last finds himself experiencing the presence of the deity. A writer, Reuchlin, R-E-U-C-H-I-N, describes such an ascent in De Arte Kabbalistica, and another can be found in the Hermetica. And look at the translation of the Hermetica, by the way, by William Scott. And check out chapter 129. It'll talk about the seven level of ascent in an astrological idiom. Yeah. Some of these ascents are deeply Christian in their character. There we go with that. Don't we just love that? Eh? Yeah, but I do think there's reasons. We should talk about that. In De Occulta Philosophia, Agrippa raises through the three worlds, the elemental world, the celestial world, and the super-celestial world, where he is in contact with angels, where the Trinity is proved. The Hebrew names of God are listed, and the name of Jesus is now the most powerful of all names. There you go. So we're going to de-Christianize the process. Where all remember, as Epictetus said, we tolerate religion, for all men reach heaven in their own way. That's it. Too much thought going on here today. We'll only get brain cramps. After all, we're simple Masons. I hope you will enjoy the program today. And I hope you share some of the perspective. Trying to be hopeful. This is a forward-moving organization. Don't be hampered by the day-to-day. Don't be hampered. Everything that you see is temporary. Remember, these people that if somebody's annoying you, it's that they have their own path to follow. They have no more, unless they have something credible to say, unless they can qualify their opinions, they're really just talking to talk. Here, keep this in mind. As you go around the world committing acts of random Masonic kindness, if we are a cult of personality, then we're going to be doing things with our chest puffed up, waiting for some bauble or jewel or pat in the back. But if you are the larger man, you can do it, do goodness and assist other people without any credit being traced back to you. Are you capable of that? I see. If one oversteps the bounds of moderation, says Epictetus, the greatest pleasures cease to please. Have some interesting spring music, of course, yeah? This, of course, we were going to talk about spring. It's important. This is, we're coming up to the 21st of June. It's going where the summer solstice is happening. Remember the longest days. So, and at 12:39 p.m. Yeah, that's when it's going to rock here. So I want to see all you closet druids out there doing your thing, paying homage, recognizing that all things come from that energy of the sun, don't they? Phenomenal. So, coming up soon, only a few days, and then we're there. We only have 228 days left in the year. We're sitting at Victoria Day weekend here, celebrating the birthday of Queen Victoria. Now, when you look up at the evening sky, just a little bit after sunset, very low on the horizon, just about half a finger width on the horizon, you'll see Mercury. And above it, and just over to the left of it, slightly over, about 11 o'clock, you'll see Venus. And then if you go straight up from Venus to about 11 o'clock, you'll see Jupiter. So Mercury, Venus, and Jupiter. And Jupiter will be the brightest. Yeah, Venus will be very bright too. And then if you wait and you can get out, you can stay awake until 9 o'clock, down in the southeast, you'll see Saturn. Yeah, good times. Here's some music. You'll recognize the first one just because. I mean, Vivaldi in the spring. It's just a little simple piece. And then I have some Chinese music. And then I'm going to finish up with a piece from Charlie Chaplin from 1952. I hope you like it. Thank you for making Masonic Home Companion a success. Thank you for your support. I look forward to seeing you all in Lodge. And meanwhile, may the great architect blah, 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 blah. Thank you.
100 road miles. Made the trip in 13 and a half hours. Yeah, including a 5-hour ferry ride. Cops couldn't pick at what they couldn't see.
Buddy, what's his name?
Scrap that. Last winter. Scrap that. Yeah, scrap the bit. Took the engine, 454 four barrel, and putting him in yummy. You know what a yummy is. You don't know what a yummy is? Yummy, boy. A skidoo with a Yamaha sticker on her. Now, buddy, that could move. My sonny boy, I had to weld an extra track on her just so she could take the strain. My dumb, you should have seen this myself and me better, eh? Gambo Pond, last match. You know it's Gambo Pond, right? Right on. 18-mile pond, that's what it's called, right, boys? Right on. 17.5 miles long. Fella that named her was optimistic, see? We was up on the... Wait a minute. Now, before I get ahead of myself, because we, you know, we had to... Before we got on the pond, we had to go through the Droka Woods first. Right, boys? Right on. We had to go through the Droka Woods before we break out on the pond. You know what I'm saying, eh? Yeah. Well, now, all I know is, see, because even before you go through the Droka Woods, you had to go across the stretch of bog first before you go through the woods and break out on the pond. Right? Right on, yeah. Yeah. Well, all I know, before you could, like, go across the bog, go through the woods and break out on the pond, like, you had to get her down over the ditch off the highway, didn't you, buddy? Well... Right on. Yeah. Yeah, but now, hold on now. See, now, even before you can put her down over the ditch, hey, go across the bog, through the woods, and out on the pond. Look, you had to get her off the trailer first, didn't you, right? Your spy. Mm. I can remember, old man. Brother was on the front. I was on behind, right? Yeah, we had the licorice start in her. The way I seen that, I said, starting motor's already on to her. Was 10 pounds. Why take it off when she already weighs 1,000? We rigged up a button up on the left handlebar. Depressed that one, she started up. Now, mind you, we left the manual start on her, you know, to draw up the pull cord, because you never can tell when an emergency might arise and you would have to impress a woman. See, just not everyone can haul over a V8 with a pull cord. Especially not a 454, but myself and me brother, eh? We got her all built up here in the chest and the muscles and the arms and everything. You know what I'm saying, eh? We can haul her over just like a lawnmower. Ah, just like that. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, my son. Grab onto her. Now, most fellas puts the 2 feet up on her and hauls back. Can't do anything with it. I grabs onto her. And she's going, eh? 454 four barrel. Now, buddy, I'm going to tell you. Brother gets on the front of her this day. I'm on behind. He takes out a roll of electric tape. You know, electric tape? Electric clip? Yeah. He tapes his thumb right flat down on the throttle. Wide open, whatever she could suffer. And taped the rest of it all around his hand so she wouldn't slip off. I says to myself, he wants to go fast. I jammed my hand under that little seatbelt was on there for nothing to fit under. Just my sonny boy was right rearing to go, eh? And he reaches up and he deep presses that start button. God! Just like, you spit the trailer and the car, what was attached to the trailer, 50 feet out from under, I don't know. God! Never even touched the bog. First time we come down, we touched ground in the woods. Like a... And she lifts off and...
Big log cross trail about that big around.
You seen Robin Hood, haven't you? Remember the part where he draws back the bow now? Steve sticks in. Same thing. Two skis, broadside along. You think that's slower down? No, sir. She went on, my son left the two skis along. Next time we touched down, out on the pond, going straight up the pond.
Mind you, now we couldn't go left, couldn't go right.
No skis. Couldn't slack her off. Brother had his thumb taped down.
Oh, he looks at me, watch, he says, 17 and a half miles, 26 seconds max. If you fired off a 303 behind us, my son, it wouldn't catch up. And then it come to my mind, eh? Because I'm the one in the family with the brains. Triton Brook, up the end of the pond. Smash one, right? Right on, running in that way, right? Like ducks, right? Float, right? Yammies, right? Dawn, right? Right on. I screamed up, brother, sit down! Oh, didn't he couldn't hear me, see? Because, like, the words was going behind me. Just coming up like that. Oh, yeah. We was going faster than sound, so although he was only that far ahead of me, he couldn't hear me. I had to grab his head and stick it behind my mouth so that the words would come out of my mouth and pour in his ear. Brother, slow down! I said, what do you want to slow down for? I said, Triton Brook! And he said, go on, I'm not slowing down. I said, I'm getting up. He said, go on, you win. I got up. It's just as well I got sucked into the draft behind her, and I stayed in the same position, and there I was, two legs outstretched, same as I was sitting down, going up the pond behind her. I never rinded the ass out of my pants so bad. Since the time in grade two, I was caught for smoking. Gets up to the end of the pond, old man. There's only a few seconds later, he strikes a rock right up by Triton Brook. Rock about so big as that block there, look. He strikes down, bing, straight up in the air, 75 feet, comes down, slow Joe into the water, that's it, gone. I came to an abrupt halt on the rock. To be more precise, the rock brought up in me fork. Now, there is a bundle of nerves what goes from the fork to the brain about so big around as your forearm, and every nerve I ever in there was screaming pain. I put it out of my mind. Tough, eh? Tough. Yes, sir. Only one thing in my mind. Brothers is brothers. Blood is thicker than water, unless the water is frozen. But see, it wasn't frozen, dear Ford. Well, you know what I'm saying. I had to go in for it. I get over there, strips off on the edge of the ice, observes the swollen parts. Put it out of my mind again. Dove in for a slow Joe. I find like 5 minutes swimming around underwater. You want a breath of fresh air, right? I looking around. Never seen nothing for a while because all the muck was stirred up, but then I seen a little light come through the muck. Same as a beacon out on the point when it's foggy, eh? Light like that. And then he flash again. Flash again. I swims over to where he was too. Flash again. I feels the front of her. That's the yammy. I looks around the other side, and there's brother.